Chapter 9. A Surprising Offer. One evening, after Adele went to bed, I was walking around the garden when I saw Mr. Rochester sitting outside. "Jane, look at this butterfly," he said. "Sit here with me." I couldn't think of a reason to refuse, so I sat down next to him. "Isn't Thornfield lovely in the summer?" he said. I nodded my head. "You like it here, don't you?" he continued. "I can see you like Adele and Mrs. Fairfax. Will you be sorry to leave them?" "Yes," I replied. "When do I have to leave, sir?"
"I hope to get married in a month," he replied. "I know I promised to help you find a new job. There's a good family in Ireland where you can go."
My heart sank. "Ireland's very far away, sir," I answered.
"That doesn't matter," he replied. "You're a sensible girl, and you won't mind the journey or the distance."
"But it's far from England," I said, starting to cry. I thought my heart was breaking.
"We'll talk about it another time," said Mr. Rochester. "Let's sit here in peace tonight."
But I couldn't hold back any longer.
"I can't bear the idea of leaving Thornfield, or you," I sobbed. "Why do you have to leave?" he asked, all of a sudden.
"Because of Miss Ingram," I cried.
"Your bride."
"What bride?" he asked. "I haven't got a bride."
"But you soon will have one," I cried.
"Yes, I will. I will," he almost shouted.
"So I must leave. I can't stay here and watch you. Do you think that because I'm not pretty or because I'm poor, I haven't got a heart?" I shouted. "You're wrong."
"Of course you've got a heart, Jane," Mr. Rochester replied, and he kissed me. I tried to move away from him.
"Jane," he said, "be still. You're like a little bird that's desperate to be free."
"I'm not a bird," I protested. "I'm free, and I'm going to leave you."
"Listen to me, Jane," he said. "I'm offering you my heart. Please, will you marry me?"
I didn't answer. I couldn't believe my ears.
"Is this some kind of joke?" I asked, "because it's not at all funny."
"It's not a joke. I don't love Miss Ingram," Mr. Rochester said. "I could never marry her. I love you. Please accept me as your husband."
"Me?" I cried. "Do you truly love me? Why, I haven't got a friend in the world, and the only money I've got is what you give me."
"I don't care about that, Jane. Just accept me," Mr. Rochester cried. "Call me Edward, not Mr. Rochester or Sir. Say, Edward, I will marry you."
"Then, sir," I said, my heart beating so loudly I thought he could hear it, "I will marry you."
He kissed me again. I wondered if this was all a silly dream and I would wake up soon. But there we were, sitting together in the garden, not noticing the storm clouds all around us. Suddenly, Mr. Rochester said, "We must go in. The weather is changing." I became aware of a flash of lightning and heard thunder in the distance. The rain started to pour down and we ran, laughing, into the house as the clock struck 12.
"Good night," Mr. Rochester said. "Good night, my darling Jane."
He kissed me again. When I looked up, I saw Mrs. Fairfax on the stairs. She looked shocked and very disapproving. I smiled at her and ran upstairs to my room. I would explain everything to her the following day. Back in my room, I heard thunder again and saw the lightning flash. I looked at my face in the mirror and felt it was no longer plain. My eyes, which were shining with happiness, had transformed my face. "It's amazing what love can do to a person," I thought. "I'm the most fortunate person in the world." I woke up the next morning
half fearing I had imagined the night before. But Mrs. Fairfax was unusually cool to me, so I knew it was no dream. I went into the drawing room, and there he stood. He looked at me and smiled warmly. "Come and say good morning," he said, and I received a kiss as if it was the most natural thing in the world. "You're truly pretty this morning, Jane Eyre," he said, "and soon you'll be Jane Rochester. In 4 weeks, not a day more. Do you hear that?" I did, but could not quite comprehend it. Mr. Rochester continued painting a picture of a lady I could not imagine. Jane Rochester. He promised to buy me jewels and fine clothes, describing journeys we would make to faraway places. It made me uncomfortable, for these were not the things I needed or lacked. I only needed him. "I can't become an elegant lady, Mr. Rochester," I said. "I can only be me, plain old Jane Eyre. Don't expect me to change, because I don't know how." "I love you exactly as you are," he replied, "and I want you to be my wife." "Please explain this to Mrs. Fairfax, sir," I said. "She saw you kiss me last night and she was shocked. It hurts me to be misjudged by such a good and respectable lady." "Don't worry, Jane," said Mr. Rochester. "I'll explain all and your good reputation will remain intact." I could not contain the question I was bursting to ask. "I must ask you one question," I began timidly. "What about Miss Ingram? Why did you go to such an effort to make me believe you wanted to marry her?" "It's quite simple, Jane," was his reply. "I wanted you to be as madly in love with me as I was with you. I knew jealousy would be the best way to achieve that, and it worked. Your face was green with envy as you watched me flirt with Miss Ingram, and you just couldn't hide it." Mr. Rochester explained our new situation to the household, and everybody was surprised but happy for me. Adele was delighted. She had been afraid of the changes coming to Thornfield when Miss Ingram became mistress. Now she had nothing to fear. Only Miss Fairfax seemed to have reservations about it. "I hope it will be all right in the end," she said, not very convincingly. "But believe me, you can't be too careful. Try and keep Mr. Rochester at a distance. Don't be foolish, Jane. Gentlemen in his social position are not accustomed to marrying their governesses." I didn't want to hear this piece of advice and was irritated by her warnings. I was a foolish girl in love.